Hi, this is Brad Linscott on the PFE team here at Microsoft Support. You know, it's not uncommon when I go on site to work an issue for a customer that when I'm looking at a dump file and I've got the debugger open on my laptop, that sooner or later I start getting one or more people looking over my shoulder or looking at my debugging session trying to figure out what I'm doing, and they start looking at the threads, and I explain to them what it is I'm looking at in their application. They start saying, well, what does this thread do, or what does that thread do, or how do you know this thread is supposed to be doing this kind of work, or that thread's a GC thread, or what's a finalizer thread? So I thought I would go ahead and spend a little bit of time and take one of our episodes here on .NET debugging for the production environment to explain a little bit about how you identify a CLR thread in a dump file and how to determine which CLR threads are which. We'll start out with this episode talking about some of the more common kinds of CLR threads. And then we'll talk a little bit about how being able to identify these threads and knowing what a finalizer thread is supposed to do, or what a GC thread, and how knowing those kinds of things can help us be more effective troubleshooters in our debugging efforts. And then I'll spend the bulk of this episode doing a live walkthrough of a dump file so that you can see how we identify which threads, which CLR threads are which. So how do I identify in a dump file which threads are CLR threads? Well, it's not too difficult. When you look at the native call stack for a thread, you're looking for MS Core Works if this is a 2.0 or a 3.x application. That's going to be your telltale sign we're dealing with a CLR thread. If you've got a 4.0 or 4.5 application, you're looking for CLR.dll to determine whether or not it's a CLR thread. There are a couple different thread pools that are do a lot of primarily responsible for doing a lot of managed code execution. You've got your worker thread pool and your IO completion port thread pool. Each thread pool has their own numbers of threads, and you can to a certain degree control the numbers of these threads, or the number of threads that can grow in these pools, by using various config file values. There's an old but a very commonly used and referred to knowledge base article about out there, for those of you who are familiar with our knowledge base, that talks about how you can do this. In 2.0, we came out with the notion of autoconfig that automatically sets some of these values for you. If you're familiar with our knowledge base, you can go out and look at the knowledge base article 821268 and get an idea of what I'm talking about. I'll flash the link to that KB up on the screen here at the end of this episode, just so that everybody can see it. But for those of you who are familiar with it, again, it's the knowledge base. Again, it's 821268. The gate thread. This thread controls the number of threads, how often threads are spun up or spun down in the thread pools, depending on various metrics and maybe even some config file settings, such as like CPU usage, queuing, or other activity. There is one managed debugger thread in each process that loads the framework. And this is the thread to which a managed debugger will attach to in the process. So MDBG, for example, that's a real popular managed debugger. When you attach that debugger to a process, he's going to attach to the managed debugger thread. Timer threads, you'll see those in the process sometimes, and they are primarily responsible for executing callbacks from managed timer objects. Finalizer thread. There is one finalizer thread per process. It doesn't matter the version of the framework, well, at least up until 4.0. It doesn't matter how many cores are on the machine or anything like that. There's one finalizer thread per process, and his job is to execute finalizers. That's his sole purpose in life. And then GC threads. If you're using workstation GC, you don't have dedicated GC threads. But if you're using server... that is, if you're using workstation GC, I want to make sure I said that correctly. If you're using server GC, then you will have two or more threads that are GC threads. Their sole purpose in life is just to collect garbage. You'll have one GC thread per logical core. So if you've got four cores on a machine and your application is using server GC, you'll have four GC threads in that process. If you've got 24 cores, then you'll have 24 GC threads using server GC. So now that we've got that out of the way, how does knowing this information help us in our debugging efforts? Why do we care? Well, for one, to satisfy curiosity. I said before at the beginning of this episode, folks ask me sometimes, how do you know what all these threads are doing in the process? And the answer is most of the time I don't. I don't know what every single thread in the process is doing, but I don't need to know in order to solve the problem. I've never opened up a dump and said, okay, this dump has, say, for example, 75 threads. I got to go through each one of these 75 threads and figure out what each one is doing. I never do that. What I'm looking for is where the problem is. And that's usually centered around one or two threads, usually no more than just a handful of threads. And so, when I'm curious about, what this is doing or what that is doing, I've always learned that when I'm curious about something, I'm always going to learn something. Sometimes it helps me in my troubleshooting endeavors, sometimes it doesn't. But over the course of time, the more curious I am, the better I get at understanding my debugging efforts and knowing how to identify problems in a shorter amount of time. And there are times where it does matter. I said before, I rarely have to know, or I've never had to know what each and every thread in the process is doing in order to find a problem in a dump file. But there are times where, oftentimes, where knowing the specific kind of thread on which a problem is occurring is crucial and is core to identifying what the problem is. For example, let's say you've got an application that is not responsive. It's hung. So you go ahead and dump it. If you're able to identify the finalizer thread, then you look in the dump and you see that the finalizer thread is completely either backlogged or blocked. That's going to be something that is core to your non-responsive behavior. You know that there's only one finalizer thread in that process, and therefore it is crucial that he not get backlogged, that he not get blocked. Because if that's the case, then what usually happens is that your memory footprint starts to grow very, very quickly, because your finalizer thread a lot of times is responsible for, it's going to be responsible for executing the finalizers. But a lot of times what customers will do in their finalizers is that they will release unmanaged resources. And if the finalizer thread can't do that, your memory footprint is going to grow. So knowing how to identify the finalizer thread and what he's responsible for can really help you out in these kinds of situations. Another case may be if you've got a dump file that shows potentially multiple different symptoms. It's not uncommon for me to look at a dump and I see, well, I've got certain threads that are waiting on a critical section. I've got certain other threads that are consuming high CPU. I've got maybe a blocked finalizer, as I said in the previous example. How do I know which issue to look at first? Knowing the different kinds of CLR threads and what their purpose in life is can help you prioritize it. In the case that I just gave, I would want to take a look at that finalizer thread before I looked at something else, because I know no matter what else is going on, if that finalizer is blocked, I'm still going to have major issues in my application, so I really need to solve that first. If I took another dump, say 5 seconds later, I may see that the critical section that had threads waiting on it in dump one, maybe there was nobody waiting on him in dump two. But chances are if my finalizer is blocked or backlogged in one dump, it's going to be the same in dump number two. Another situation might be if you've got a high CPU issue, and so you go ahead and you dump the application because it's consuming way more CPU then you know that it should, based on your experience with the application. In previous episodes of this series, we've taken a look at how do you troubleshoot a high CPU issue, and one of the things that I pointed out was to run bang runaway. So if you do that and you see that, wow, I've got, let's say this is a 4-core box and I've got 4 threads that are consuming way more CPU than anybody else, and I took a look at that, and if I'm able to identify which threads in the process are GC threads, then I'm going to be more apt to maybe ignore these particular threads. And you heard me right, ignore them. Why is that? The reason is because I know that GC threads are given a higher priority than most of the other threads in the process. Server GC is designed to allow these threads to consume as many resources as they need to do their job. And if that means consume more CPU in order to collect garbage in a short amount of time, then they'll go ahead and do it. So it's not uncommon, say, for example, on a W3WP, on a multi-core box, to if it's running for the course of, say, 8 hours, and I run bang runaway, to see that those 4 GC threads have consumed far more CPU than anybody else. That's not uncommon, and it doesn't necessarily indicate a problem whatsoever. It could be completely normal. Now that I know this, I may be less inclined to blame garbage collection as root cause for my high CPU. What may happen, I've had situations like this before, to where we've got an application that's been running all day without any issues, without any CPU problems, and all of a sudden, after, say, a certain amount of time, it spikes the CPU and it flatlines at 90%, 100%, something like that. If I get my multiple dumps during the high CPU symptoms, and I take a look at the Bang Runaway output from dump 1 to dump 2 to dump 3, I may still see those GC threads at the top of the list in each one of the dumps. Because let's say the application has been running, say, for 7 or 8 hours, I would expect to see those GC threads way up there. So, but if the delta on the Bang Runaway output from dump 1 to dump 2 to dump 3 shows that there's very little difference in the CPU usage, then I can ignore those and I can go look at the other threads in the Bang Runaway output that have a bigger delta between dump 1, dump 2, and dump 3. And that's going to be the thread. Those are going to be the threads that consume my CPU, and I want to take a look at their call stacks as opposed to the GC call stacks, the call stacks of the GC threads. So knowing this, let's go on to a demo where I'll open up a dump file and we'll go through the dump and we will analyze each thread to see if we can identify which threads are CLR threads, and if so, what kind of CLR threads are they. All right, so here is a dump file. Zoom back over here. And I see here that I've got a 2003 machine, 4 processors, 32-bit. And this process has been up for about 10 hours. It's been running for quite some time. Let's go ahead and just take a look at what threads we got here. I'm going to go ahead and run totstarkk. So I'll get the native call stack for every thread in the process. And while the debugger is outputting the call stacks, and that was pretty quick. All right, so we won't review anything. We'll just come up here all the way up to the top, and we'll go through starting from thread 0 all the way down to the end. We'll identify which threads are CLR threads. And again, we're looking for either CLR.dll or MSCoreWorks. And it's usually pretty easy to determine which one you got here. Just look through here. I know from looking at this dump file that this is going to be a 3.0 or 3.5 application, so I'm looking for MSCoreWorks. And here on thread 10, we see that we've got a CLR thread. What is it? And we see here from looking at this call to thread pool manager completion port thread start, this is an I.O. completion port thread from the I.O. thread pool. So that's how we identify what that one is. Let's look down here at thread number 12. This cannot get down to the bottom of it. We've got some other maybe managed code down here, so I'm not able to get the bottom of it. But I do see that this particular thread is doing some kind of allocation from our try allocate more space. And it looks like we are waiting right here. This dump was probably taken right during a GC, which it's really hard to time it out to do that. Sometimes it just kind of happens to where you took the dump just whenever a GC was occurring. But since GCs occur pretty quickly, it's really hard to time it and make it happen. Oftentimes it can impede your debugging efforts if you took a dump right during a GC, because it could be that GC was in a phase where it's moving objects from one location to another, and therefore some of the output of extensions like SOS or PSS Core, PSS Core 2, PSS Core 4 may not be completely accurate. Threads 13 is, look at that, there is our debugger thread. And how do we know that that is our one managed debugger thread? From the call to debugger RC thread, thread project static. So that is the thread that if we were to attach a managed debugger to this process, it would attach in this case to thread 12.2c, right there. Thread 14, this is another CLR thread. And this is one of our GC threads. Back up at the top, we did take a look and see that there were 4 logical cores on this machine, so I'd expect to see 4 GC threads, knowing that we are, this is a W3WP, and we are using server GC. How do we know this is W3WP? Well, you run that command and you'll get over here the command line, W3WP. All right, we are on thread 15, something around there. Okay, so we've got our GC heap call on thread 14 and thread 15. Thread 16. Thread 17. So there are our 4 GC threads on 14, 15, 16, and 17. Thread 18, Here is another CLR thread, and this is our finalizer thread. How do we know? Because we got a call to gcheap:finalizer-thread-start. So this is our finalizer thread. His sole purpose in life is simply to execute finalizers in the process. Thread 19, this is a timer thread. That is not what I want to do. And we know that because of the call to timer thread fire. And as we said before, his purpose in life is to execute callbacks from managed timer objects. Here's another CLR thread. Looks like what he's doing is unloading an app domain. Thread 21 is not a CLR thread. Thread 22 is. This is another thread from the worker thread pool. See there from the call to worker thread start. Thread 23, another thread pool thread from the worker thread pool. Thread 24, same thing. See the call there to worker thread start. Thread 25 is not a CLR thread, nor is thread 26. I'll keep scrolling down here. There's another thread 28. Seems like it's got a much longer call stack. We'll go down here to the bottom, see if we can determine if it comes from our worker thread pool thread or IO thread pool thread. Can't see either one of those calls. A lot of times when I see this, it's come from a call where somebody else has created their own thread and called thread start on it. And we see in this one where this wait for single object is a blocking call up here. Usually means that we're simply waiting for some kind of work to do. Okay, thread 29 is not a CLR thread. We'll keep scrolling down until we find something else here from CLR. There's thread 40. This is another one of the threads from the IO thread pool. Thread 41. Nothing down here at the bottom. Oh, sorry. This is a thread from the worker thread pool. Some of you may have noticed up here at the top a call to message box. Yes, this is from a W3WP. You never want a message box being thrown from a process that does not interact with the desktop. We won't go into that in detail here, but yeah, this would indicate a problem. This particular thread would be blocked until somebody clicked OK on that message box. And since a non-interactive process, sometimes you can actually get that when you go to the console session and click OK on it. But a lot of times, the way customers used to resolve this issue without knowing that the message box was thrown was to recycle IIS. Doesn't really resolve it, just kills the process. And in production, if they've got to get it back up and running as soon as possible, that takes priority. Thread 44 here. Let's see. Looks like another thread that may have been created from a call to thread start. I don't see any calls down here to either the IO from either the IO or worker thread pool. And so you're always going to find if a thread does come from one of those thread pools, you'll see it down here near the bottom at the beginning of the call stack. Here, 45 is another thread from the completion port thread pool. 46 is the same thing. 47, another big call stack. Probably another case to where somebody made a call to thread start. Same thing for thread 49. And that's it. Now you can get what some of these CLR threads by running a command from, in this case, PSS Core 2, because I've got version 2 of the framework loaded using bang. Threads. When you do that, over here on the right, it'll show you which threads are finalizer threads, or which ones are finalizer thread, and which threads are coming from the worker thread pool or the completion port thread pool. You'll also notice this state column here. You can download the build of the framework that is publicly downloadable and get the bitmask definition for what these codes represent. I can never keep them memorized, so I don't worry about it. But it will tell you things like there's a bitmask for the thread is dead, or the thread is a background thread, or this particular thread is waiting to get a safe spot for garbage collection, or it's a thread pool thread from the worker thread pool or the IO completion port thread pool. Different kinds of bitmasks. But like I said, I can never keep memorized, and I usually have a much better I can identify the kind of thread much quicker by just simply looking at the call stack or running bang threads such as what we did here. So it's a really quick run-through of how you identify which threads in the process are CLR thread and which threads, once you identify which thread is a CLR thread, what kind of CLR thread is it? Just a real quick rundown, but as you can see, it's not too difficult. So lastly, I told you I'd put up a couple of different resources here on the screen. The first link here refers to the knowledge base article that I talked about earlier that talks to you about how to use config file values to change some of the thread pool numbers. And then the second bullet here is from Tess Ferrandis' blog. A lot of you may be familiar with Tess's blog. She's got probably the best blog out there on how to do .NET debugging, including some labs. This particular link here shows you some of the things that I just went through. It's based on CLR 1.1, and what I just went through was 2.0, but most of it's the same. So I hope this helps some folks out there get a little bit better at diagnosing what kinds of threads in their dump files or CLR threads and what they're supposed to do, and hopefully get you closer to time to resolution. Thanks for watching another episode of .NET Debugging for the Production Environment.